Well, good morning. Everybody awake? Good to see you this morning. Remember, the Lord's word says in Psalm 100 and elsewhere that we are to come with joy and with the psalms of rejoicing. And that's what I hope you're doing. Everybody happy here this morning? Everybody happy? If you're happy and you know it, say amen.
Amen.
If you're gripey and you want to show it, say oh me. Well, you've always got to have a few gripers to balance out the rest of us that are having fun. So whether you are tuning in by virtue of internet or you're here with us in the building today, we're glad that you are here as we have come to do that which is what we should be desirous to do, and that is to worship the Lord Jesus with all we've got this morning. Does that sound like a good plan to you? It's a good plan to me. If you have your bulletin, you'll look on there. There's a few announcements. Let me just share a couple of those with you. At the very top, Joe and Tracy Preston would like to thank you for all the expressions of love in the passing of Joe's dad. And Joe, continue to pray for you. You know, it doesn't make any difference whether you're 6 or 60 and you lose a parent. You don't get many of those in this life. And so continue to pray for Joe and his family, but they want to thank you for the love that you've shown to them. Women, you see that with the 3 exclamation marks. You're going to do some stuff on June the 29th, and you can read about what you're going to be doing from 9 to 3. I have been told to tell you to call Kim Sandlin if you would like to RSVP. So plan to come, but you got to call Kim, okay? If you don't call her ahead of time, she's going to trip you when you try to go through the front door, okay? So make sure you call Kim and let her know that you're coming. Also, they were looking for a nursery coordinator and other ministry positions. If you are interested in using the God-given spiritual gift that God has given you, and if you are in Christ, you have at least one. And so if it is, you know, if you like to bounce a toddler on your knee, then sign up. If you like to bounce them off the wall, we probably don't need you for that. But if you have a spiritual gift that you'd like to employ, we would love to help you employ it here at Redeemer Bible Church. I want to remind you again, Wednesday nights, we continue to meet 5:30, potluck, show up. We eat, we pray, we sing, and we get into the Word of God. And so if you like to do any of those things, even the food, if you want to come and eat and leave, we welcome you. We will gossip about you, but we will welcome you if you will come. So please do that. We'd love to have you come on Wednesday nights. And there's many that have been doing that. We hope that you will include yourself amongst that number. Also, library hours. How many of you like to read? Well, I tell you, a lot of people today don't read books anymore, okay? We're becoming, you know, we got all this information. We're becoming illiterate. But if you'd like to check out a book or more in the library, check out the hours that are there. Also, if you're here today and you're not a Christian and you'd like to find out about what that's about, Pastor Forrest would love to talk to you about it. If you are a Christian, you've never been baptized, he'd also like to talk to you about that. And also, if you are a guest here this morning, we would encourage you to take out the little Connect card that is around you in one of the pews there and fill it out and give us as much information as you are comfortable with. And if you have a prayer need or request that you'd like to include on there, do that as well. And if you are a regular here at the church, you're a member of this church, and you would like to update your information or you have a prayer request, likewise, put that on there. Now, if you are a guest, here's the great deal. If you will fill this out today, I will be at the back today, and I would love to give you a mug just to being our guest to say thank you for checking us out today, and we hope that you will come back and be our guest again. All right? Let's go to the Lord and pray as we continue to worship Him this morning. Thank you for being here. Our Father, we come to you this morning truly joyful. Lord, we understand that joy is not circumstantial. Lord, happiness can come and go based on circumstances. And Lord, there are people here today that maybe they're very, very happy. Things are going very, very well. But maybe there's others here today that it's not going so well. It may not be going so well spiritually, relationally, financially, physically. So, Lord, we ask today that, Lord, you would reach into the heart of each person here today. And, Lord, we ask you to help them to worship you well, and we also ask that you would help them to meet the needs that they have. We pray, Lord, that perhaps even the fellowship of this church could help with those matters. Lord, we do love you, and yet we are sinful people to the core. Lord, forgive us of where we have failed you even this day. Help us to find our purpose, our decision-making, our joy, and everything else we do in this life in you. Lord, we ask you this morning that you would bless Pastor Forrest as he brings a message. Lord, your word is true. Help us, Lord, to receive it this morning. Help us to understand it. But, Lord, most importantly, let us then take it and apply it to our individual lives. We thank you for the nation that we're a part of. And, Lord, we ask you to move across this nation, even across this world, with the gospel of Jesus Christ. We thank you for those who defend this nation, those who do it on foreign soil, those who do it here, and, Lord, also for those who defend us on a daily basis, the police, the firemen, the EMTs, and others. Lord, we thank you that we have, Lord, the best situation in all of this planet. But, Lord, spiritually, there's a lot going off base. Help us, Lord, to return to be the nation, Lord, that we were founded upon your truth, the rock bed of your word. Today, Lord, speak into our lives. Draw us closer to you. Help us to be people of joy, regardless of our circumstances. And when we leave this place today, Lord, help us to represent you well. We do praise you. We love you. We commit our lives afresh to you. In the matchless name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. In his name we pray, and all of God's people said together, amen.
Welcome you, God. Fill this place again with your song. Flood our thoughts with wonder and awe. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need is found in you, found in you, Jesus. Every victory is found in you, found in you. Oh, 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 oh. Open wide our hearts now to yours. Every fear, bow down to your love. That we would see like never before. Give us a greater glimpse of a never-changing God. All we want and all we need. Found in you, found in you, Jesus, every victory. Found in you, found in you, and all we want and all we need. Found in you, found in you, Jesus, every victory. Found in you, found in you. since there is freedom. In your presence we are made whole. All we want and all we need is found in you, is found in you. Jesus, every victory is found in you.
How come we're all sitting down? Everybody stand up and welcome the people around you to church this morning.
All right, everybody. Let's make our way back to our seats. Please remain standing. Remain standing. Thank you.
Well, good morning, church. If you could please find your seats for the reading of God's Word. This morning I'll be reading from the book of Psalms, Psalm 146. It'll be verses 1 through 10, but it's the entirety of the chapter. And if you please remain standing if you're able. Praise the Lord, my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in human beings who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed are those whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord their God. He is the maker of heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them. He remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the foreigner and sustains the fatherless and the widow, but he frustrates the ways of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord. Please remain standing.
The power of sin and darkness, whose love is mighty and so much stronger, the King of glory, the King above all kings, who shakes the whole earth with holy thunder and leaves us breathless in awe and wonder, the King of glory. Above all kings.
Sing it out.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You laid down your life. That I would be set free. Asking for all that you've done for me.
Who
brings our chaos back into order? Who makes the orphan a son and daughter? The King of glory, the King of glory, who rules the nations. With truth and justice, shines like the sun in all of its brilliance, the King of glory. incomparable peace. This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life that I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy is the King who conquered the grave. Worthy is the Lamb who was slain. Worthy, worthy, worthy. Grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You lay down your life. That I would be set free. Oh, Jesus, I sing. All that you've done for me. All that you've done for me. Jesus, our Savior, I believe. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name. Our judge and our defender, suffered and crucified. Forgiveness is in you. Descended into darkness, you rose in glorious light. Forever seated high. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again. For I believe in the name of Jesus. And I believe in you. I believe in the Saints Communion, and in your holy church, I believe in the resurrection. When Jesus comes again, for I believe in the name of Jesus. I believe in God our Father. I believe in Christ the Son. I believe in the Holy Spirit. Our God is three in one. I believe in the resurrection, that we will rise again.
Button-up shirt and stuff like that, because it is church after all. Today, I don't know if you noticed, but I'm just wearing a t-shirt. You know, wearing a ball cap, coming as I am. That's what he tells us we're able to do, so that's what I did today. But I was looking down at this shirt, and it says Psalms 23, right? And we're singing over these songs, and we're praising him. And something hit me, the beginning of Psalms 23. It says right here on the shirt, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." So I started thinking about that, and I was thinking, wow, I sure want for a lot of things, don't I? And I don't know sometimes if the Lord is all that we want. Right? And it says, "I shall not want." So it means I shall not want for anything except Christ. Right? So as we're going through these songs, even the first one we sang this morning, it's talking about all we want and all we need is in Jesus. All we want and all we need. And then I looked down and I saw this scripture and it said, "I shall not want." I've been wanting for a lot of things this week, and I think I'm just going to take this moment, and I would implore you to do the same, to reshift your focus towards Christ and the fact that He quite literally is all that we need. And if we are in Him, there is nothing that we have to want for. There is nothing that we need outside of Christ alone. So when we say we're here to worship Him, we're worshiping Him in this truth, that we are complete in Him. And that all these other things will be brought to us by His blessing. And we don't have to worry about them. So let's just go back into that chorus. And this time when you're singing, "Here I am to worship," think about that. Think about why you're worshiping. Think about why we're praising Jesus. And that He fulfills us completely and He's all that we need.
I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether loving, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me, and I'll never know. And I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. I'll never know how much it costs to see my sin upon that cross. Here I am to worship, here I am to bow down, here I am to say that you're my God, you're altogether lovely, altogether worthy, altogether wonderful to me.
Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are the one that sustains us, that we are not supposed to scrap and fight our way through these days, but Lord, we're supposed to lean and press into you, and that you are the one that lifts us up, and you are the one that sustains us and carries us. Lord, I pray if some of us have been stepping outside of that, we've been unyoking ourselves from you, that we would be latched back in, walking in sync with you, Jesus, because it's the only way to do this. And Lord, I pray as Christians that we would not lose sight of that. There's a lot of other things we have to focus on in this modern world. There's a lot of worries and concerns, albeit some of them are very real pressing matters. But I pray that we would lay all that at your feet, realizing that ultimately you are the one in control, and that we would not worry, and that we would not take it upon ourselves to try to figure things out and get through the mess on our own accord. But Jesus, we would realize that you are the great creator, and you are the one that will make everything happen the way it's supposed to, and we can trust you with our lives. And Lord, I pray that we would lay our lives down at your feet this morning, And we would humble ourselves to that fact that it's you. And Lord, I pray that we would trust you just a little bit more this morning with everything going on in our lives. I pray all this in your name, Jesus. Amen.
Yesterday, the young adult group had their summer kickoff at the DTS pool. And so I was tasked, because I'm the one who had the key, I was tasked to be the one to let them in the gate. And so I'm standing out in, because there's no shade around, I'm standing out on the sidewalk with a little key around my, I had it on a lanyard around my neck, just standing there waiting for people to show up. Just standing there waiting. It's 90 degrees out. There's no shade. I wore a black shirt. Not a bright idea. But I'm just standing there just waiting, you know, for people to come. And that was my job. That was my role. I knew that's what I was there to do. And shortly, at some point, somebody came out of the gate from the apartment complex, walked past me and saw me standing there and said, "How you doing?" I said, "I'm doing great." He looked at me and he says, "Is everything okay?" I said, "Yeah, everything's great. Everything's fine." And he kind of walked on his way. He was kind of scratching his head like, "What is going on? Why are you standing here at this gate in the middle of the sun, in the middle of the heat? You're just standing there." See, because from his perspective, he didn't know where I fit into the story. He didn't know. So he saw what was happening, he saw what I was doing, and he was confused. A little bit of maybe anxiety, like, what's going on? Why is this guy standing here? From my perspective, I knew why I was there. It was clear in my mind. I understood my role. And so there was no problem. I was not feeling anxious. Everything was fine. But from his perspective, it was different. He saw things differently because he didn't know where I fit into the story. And the reality is that for many people today, and some of you might be in that spot, you don't understand where you fit in the story. You don't understand where you fit in the story of what the Lord is doing. We have a Bible where we see from Genesis to Revelation, and that's a wonderful story, and there's really neat things that happen, but we don't sometimes know, where do I fit in that story? And what happens when we have that feeling, we feel a little bit anxious. What's going on? Why am I here? What am I doing? And oftentimes people, and this may be the case for you, oftentimes people feel very anxious about what's going on around them because they don't understand how it fits into the story. Much like the man who walked past me and said, I don't understand what's going on. And the reality is that for many people, they don't understand where they fit into the story of what God is doing. And you may know a lot of things about who God is. You may know a lot of things about who Jesus is. You may know a lot of things about what it means to be a Christian, whether or not you've chosen to be one. But you still may have this sense of anxiety because you just don't understand, where do I fit in this story? And this morning we are going to talk about some verses in the book of Luke. If you have your Bible, I'd invite you to turn with me to the book of Luke. And we're going to ask this question: where do we fit in the story? Where do we fit in the story? So if you have your Bible, turn with me to the book of Luke. And we are going to be in Luke chapter 4 today. And this section of what is going on in the book of Luke is Jesus is revealing to him, to the people that are listening to him, who he is and what he's come here to do. And he's kind of going through this time of revelation. And in this section, we're going to see where Jesus goes to his hometown and he begins to preach in the synagogue. And I'm going to tell you a lot of the background of what's going on here. And we're going to see what is going on. But the story is being told by the Holy Spirit through the human author Luke to a man named Theophilus, who was not a Jew. And many people look at this story and say, what the book of Luke is trying to do is to help Theophilus understand, where does he fit in the story? And so that's what I'm going to do this morning. I'm going to take you through this story about something that happens to Jesus in his hometown as he's in the synagogue. And we're going to talk about some things we can learn from that. But in the big picture, what's happening here is that Jesus is beginning to tell people who will listen, people who are listening, this is where you fit in the story. And my conviction this morning is this: is that there are a number of you who are here today who need to really, truly understand, maybe for the first time, where you fit in the story. You may not have come through the doors of this church this morning with the thought in your mind that you're anxious. You may not. But as I'm talking about it, you're maybe coming to the sense in your mind, you know, there's a lot of questions in my mind about what's going on in this book and how that even applies to me. If you're in that case this morning, this story will speak volumes to you. And what we're going to see as we look at this verse is going to be verses 14 to 30 is what we're looking at here. And as we go through this story, we're going to see that the Jews, and I'm going to explain to you who those people are, the marvel of Jesus, the Jews reject. And the nations are embracing. What happens in this story is we're going to see is that the Jews, specifically the Jews in Nazareth, but it foretells what the other Jews are going to do in the whole area of Israel, are going to reject Jesus. And when they do that, the marvel of Jesus is going to do something wonderful. We're going to see what that is. And what's going to happen is that the nations are going to embrace it. The first thing that we need to start with is that the Jews are rejecting this marvel of Jesus. So start at verse 14. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Holy Spirit. So what that means is that the Holy Spirit was inside Jesus and he was moving Jesus to this place. That's going to become very important when we look at what the book of Isaiah that Jesus prophesies about. So keep that in your mind. And Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit, and the news about him spread throughout the whole surrounding region. So Jesus comes into Galilee, and the news about him being there and the things that he's done is spreading throughout the whole area. Which to us seems, okay, that's neat. A lot of people know what's going on. But part of the reason why this is being disclosed here is because what's being said is, listen, what I'm telling you is true. This is not something that happened. This was not an isolated incident. Jesus came into this city and everybody saw it. Everybody knew about what was going on with Jesus. And verse 15, and he, speaking of Jesus, began teaching in their synagogues and was praised by all. Jesus goes into the synagogues. And for the best way for us to think about synagogues were kind of like churches for people that were Jewish. It was like a church for them. Not exact thing, but that's the closest we can come to. And so what Jesus did is he went into these synagogues, and when he went in, it says he was praised by all the people. And what they were praising is the things that Jesus was doing. They saw what Jesus, he was healing the sick. He was giving sight to the blind. He was helping people. And everybody saw what Jesus was doing. And man, that is great. They were praising Jesus. This is wonderful what Jesus was doing. This is going to come up later in the story. But you need to hear and understand, as Jesus was coming into these synagogues / our understanding churches, and he was praised by all the people there. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. So he went into this synagogue with people that knew him since he was a kid. They knew of Jesus. They said, hey, well, may not know him personally, but like, yeah, we've seen this guy around. And now we're starting to see the miracle. We're starting to see the marvel of what is going on here. Because all those people had seen Jesus grow up. And now he's in the temple, he's in the synagogue, and he comes to Nazareth where he had been brought up, and he, as was his custom, which means that Jesus regularly went to the synagogue, so the people didn't see Jesus walk through the door and like, oh wow, this is weird, this guy's never been here before. It was customary for Jesus to go into the synagogue. He entered the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read. So at this point in the story now, Jesus has gotten a reputation for being a teacher. And so what they're doing is like, hey, Jesus, read something. They want Jesus to read because everybody thinks he's doing great stuff. And verse 17 says, and the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him. Now I say, oh, Rand, a guy just reached in and pulled out a scroll. But it just so happens that the scroll he pulled out was the book of Isaiah. That was a divine appointment. The Lord caused that to happen. And the scroll of Isaiah the prophet was handed to him, and he unrolled the scroll and found the place where it is written. And this is going to be Isaiah chapter 61. The verse of Isaiah chapter 61 is Jesus. So he unrolls this scroll and he finds Isaiah 61 and he begins to read. And he says this, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Remember back in verse 14. That's why that's important. Jesus is saying, I'm the one being talked about in Isaiah. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he appointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are oppressed, to proclaim the favorable year of the Lord. And as Jesus read through this description, the people that were all sitting there in that synagogue, they knew that Jesus was doing the things that he was reading about. And what they know that we don't necessarily think of is this passage in Isaiah was written some 700 years before Jesus was even born. And he's reading this, and he's saying he's good news to the poor, and he's releasing the captives and giving sight to the blind. And everyone is hearing that, and they're like, these are the things that Jesus is doing. He's doing that right now. 700 years ago, this was prophesied, and Jesus is doing that right now. They knew it because they were praising him for everything he was doing. And in verse 20, and he rolled up the scroll, and he gave it back to the attendant, and he sat down. And all of the eyes of the people in the synagogue were intently directed at him. You could hear a pin drop. It was silent. Jesus read through what they all knew he had been doing, and he read through that. He gave it back, and he sat down. And it was silent. And then Jesus says, now he began to say to them, today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing. Today, this scripture that was written 700 years ago is being told about me. And all the people were speaking well of him and admiring the gracious words which were coming from his lips. And yet they were saying, is this not Joseph's son? What's happening here is that Jesus is telling them, I am the one who was written about 700 years ago. And they hear that, and they say, but aren't you Joseph's son? And they're beginning to not believe. Verse 23 goes on, and he said to them, no doubt you will quote this proverb to me, physician, heal yourself. He's telling them what is coming. He's telling them about the future, because in a few short years, Jesus will go to the cross, and people will say about him, let him heal himself if he is really the Christ. Jesus tells him, this is what you're going to say because you don't believe who I am. And the last part of verse 23 says this, all the miracles, he's saying, this is what you're going to say, all the miracles that we heard done in Capernaum, do here in your hometown as well. And what he is indicating is he understands that what they want to see is they want to see the miracles. They want to see people that are blind healed. They want to see people that were lame. They want to see them walk. They're not concerned. They don't believe in the marvel of who Jesus is. They just want the show. And Jesus already understands what's happening, and he understands that they are rejecting who he really is. And this is a forecast, which the rest of the story in the book of Luke and the other gospels will play out. The Jewish people, who are God's chosen people, reject Jesus. Even though all of the signs point that Jesus is who he claims to be, he's the Son of God, he's the Messiah, all the signs point to it, they don't want to believe, and so they reject him. And their rejection of him is huge, because Jesus is going to do something in the next section that we're going to see. But right now, what is important part to understand is that Jesus is rejected by the Jewish people. And it's important to, I'm going to take a sidebar here, and I want to help you to understand that knowing this information, when we hear information about what's coming, when we hear information about what's going on, is not intended to be something to help us feel better or to help us be more comfortable. Knowing this information is intended to help us into action. It's designed to help us do something. Now, in the story of my yesterday, my role in the story was to be the gatekeeper. That was my job. That's what I was supposed to do. But it wouldn't have made any sense if I'd have said, wow, I think this is awesome that I have a job. I'm going to go jump in the pool. That would be dumb, right? That doesn't make any sense. Because when you know something about what's coming, when God tells you what your role is in the story, the idea, the reason that he's telling you that is not because he just wants you to be happy and to be comfortable. It's because he wants you to do something with it. And that's what's being set up here in the story. And what I want to challenge you with right here, I want to challenge you to understand is when you understand what your role is in the story, it is not to make you more comfortable. It's not to make you feel like, wow, this is awesome because Jesus loves me. That's not the purpose. That's not the reason. The reason that he tells us what our role in this is in this story is because he wants us to do something with it. And the next section will help us to understand what that is. So what is our role in the story? Our role in the story, the first part that we see is that the Jews reject the marvel of who Jesus is. Jesus showed them the miracle of who he is, and they said, we want nothing to do with it. Show us another miracle. But Jesus then foretells to them what's going to happen next. You will reject me, but there's another story. There's something else that's going to come. And what he's going to talk to them about is how the marvel of who Jesus is going to go out to the nations. And the nations will embrace it. Look with me at verse 24. But he said, Jesus is still in the synagogue here, and he said, truly I say to you, no prophet is welcome in his hometown. No prophet is welcome in his hometown. Verse 25. But I say to you in truth, there were many widows in Israel in the time of Elijah, when the sky was set up for 3 years and 6 months, when a severe famine came over the land. And yet Elijah was sent to none of them, but only to Zarephath in the land of Sidon, to a woman who was a widow. The timing of when Jesus tells this story here is huge. He's in the synagogue. They all know this story. And what is happening in the story that Jesus is talking about is that the people of Israel are rejecting God. It's the reason why there's a famine. They've rejected him. So the famine comes, and the Lord sends Elijah to a nation outside of Israel to help a widow with food during the famine. He eventually raises her son as well. The marvelous things that Jesus is doing here is going to be sent out to the nations, just like happened with Elijah. And then he gives another example from the life of Elijah. And there were many, verse 27, and there were many with leprosy in Israel at the time of Elisha the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, but only Naaman the Syrian. The same situation. There were many people in Israel who had leprosy, but they weren't coming to the Lord to be healed. They were rejecting the Lord. They were rejecting what he wanted for them. And so Naaman comes from a nation outside of Israel, comes into Israel and asks for help from the Lord, and the Lord gives it. The marvel will go out to the nations, and they will embrace it. And verse 29 says this, and all the people in the synagogue were super happy at this news. No, that's not actually what it says. Verse 28, sorry, I always wanted to do that. Sorry. Verse 28 says, and all the people in the synagogue were filled with rage as they heard these things. Because Jesus just told them, you're rejecting me. And now the marvel is going to the nations. Nope, don't like hearing that at all. And things got a little physical. And they got up and drove him out of the city. Okay, they didn't put him in a car and drove him to the edge of the city. They forcibly, as a mob, pushed Jesus out to the edge of the city and brought him to the crest of a hill on which their city had been built so they could throw him down from the cliff. Just, I want you to just imagine this for a moment. There's a crowd of people all around Jesus. They've pushed him to the edge of the cliff. And we're like, oh, this isn't something we do today, which is good because it would kind of be a bad thing. But this is something that they would do in that time. They would push person to the cliff and they'd either throw them off or they'd throw them off and throw stones at him. It was something that happened in that day. And so they brought Jesus to the edge of a cliff. And Jesus is at the edge of the cliff. And then it says, this is how it ends, and it's so dramatic. But he passed through their midst and went on his way. There's a crowd around him yelling, pushing, shoving to the crest of the hill, and Jesus simply turns around and walks through the crowd and walks away. And in such a powerful moment, what is happening here is the Lord is saying, what I want to do, I'm going to do, because I'm sovereign. You are not going to kill Jesus. He's going to walk away from this situation. And the powerful, powerful thing that's being communicated in this spot is that Jesus is telling them, this is what you're going to do. You're going to reject me. And they do it, and they continue to do it. And then he says, the marvel of who I am is going to go out to the nations, and they are going to respond to it. It's interesting if you think about this story. I'm standing at this gate, and my job was simply to let people in. That was all I needed to do. And oftentimes when we think about what is going on and how the Lord is working, we feel like we have to pull people in off the street and grab people and say, hey, come on into church, or come on in. No, but really all Jesus is doing here is he's sending people out and they're giving marvelous things to the nations, and the nations are responding. And that's essentially what I was doing. I wasn't inviting people to come in. I was just opening the door for them. And that's the important thing for us to remember as we look forward, is that Jesus is demonstrating that what the marvelous things that he is going to do is something in the lives of people that they're going to want to respond to. And our role is simply to open the door for them. We don't have to convince them. We don't have to try to manipulate them or try to make them think. All we got to do is open the door for them. That's all it needs to be. The Lord is already working. The Lord is already doing marvelous things in people's lives. All we simply have to do is open the door. And that essentially is the challenge that I have for you this morning. There's the thing I want to challenge you with this morning, is I want to challenge you to think through. Where do you fit in this story? The story of what God is doing, we already know that the Jews have rejected Jesus. And so that message has gone out to the nations, and God is doing marvelous things in the lives of people. And where do you fit in that story? For some of you this morning, you may be hearing this story, and you may be hearing about what's going on, and you may be the place where you're like, I have never entered into an intimate relationship with God. I'm not a believer. I may have made a profession of faith, but I have walked away. And so this story of what God is doing, I'm not a part of it at all. Some of you may be here and still have spent a lot of time just questioning, Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my role? Where am I supposed to be? We just need you to open the door. That's all you need to do. In the next couple of months, we are going to be starting a greeting ministry, or kind of revamping the greeting ministry that we already have, I guess is a better way to say it. And we're going to be looking for volunteers, and we're going to be looking for volunteers to sign up to open the door and greet people when they come into the church. And so it's going to be a really neat thing. We're going to give training. Everybody's going to kind of know what's going on. It's such a wonderful, wonderful opportunity. But it's a great picture of what it means to be a part of what God is doing. You're just opening the door. You don't have to bring people in by force. You just see the people where God is working in their life and open the door for them and bring them back in. And so in the coming weeks, you may be asked, hey, would you be willing to do this? Is this something you'd want to do? And I just want you to think in the back of your mind, this is what it means to really be a person who is a part of what God is doing. Just welcoming people into a relationship with the Lord. But I know that there may be some of you here this morning who have come into this building and do not have an intimate relationship with the Lord, and you've not entered into a personal relationship with God. You're very far from Him because of your own actions or because of your own just not caring. This morning, even now, the Lord is calling out to you and saying, come, be a part of the story that I am doing. Would you bow with me for a word of prayer? Dear Father, we do thank you for this morning. Thank you for the opportunity to be here. Lord, I pray that you would give us the wisdom, give us the knowledge, give us the courage to respond in whatever way that it is that you would have for us this morning. Lord, you may be calling us to enter into the story in a way that we never have before. You may be calling us to be involved in the story that you're doing. Lord, I pray that you would give us the courage and the strength to know which of those two we need to do. We love you and we pray all this in your Son's holy and precious name. Amen.
Let's all stand and sing together.
Step down into darkness. Open my eyes, let me see beauty that made this heart adore you. Whole world of life spent with you. Here I am.
If you need someone to talk with after the service, please come up front. I'll be up here. I'll be more than happy to talk to you. If you need to know about what it would mean to have an intimate relationship with the Lord, or you've got some things that are going on in your life you'd just like prayer for, please just come up front. I'd love to talk to you after the service. Now all glory to God who is able, according to His mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than all we might ask or think. All glory to Him in the church and in Christ Jesus through all generations, forever and ever. Amen. See you next week.